نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعدي الفعل فمر. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعدي وصحابي وبارك وسلم. أما بعد، رشي بنام.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in the noble Quran that we, Allah has given us the path of success in the Quran. أَتِئُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِئُوا الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. For every believer, every Muslim has a desire. Woman, man, sister, brother, man or woman, that I should pass through this life with success. My brothers, colleagues, success is this definition, that the individual, when he's departing from this world, then, alhamdulillah, with Allah's praise, all of the destinations and the phases that he will go through, that they become easy for him. And when he's presented in the court of Allah, in the presence of Allah, Allah is happy with him, her, and with Allah's pleasure, Allah allows that person to enter into paradise. This is not a dream. This is not a dream. This is a reality. That every page of the Quran gives this message to us. Every page of the Quran gives us this message. That this is your journey, your destination, and this is the effort you should make in this world. And this world is the place of effort, to work hard. So, very concise syllabus Allah has given to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul, His Prophet, do not disobey them. So Allah has made a very clear syllabus for us, that do not disobey me, do not disobey my Rasul. This is the syllabus Allah has given to us in this world. In this world, we have to pass through this test, this examination, that from morning until evening we spend our time in such a way that Allah and His Rasul, we do not disobey them. Every day of ours, when the morning starts, then it should start with this niyyah, intention we should have in the morning, and we should have a plan like this, that today all day long I'm going to spend my time in such a way that I'm not going to disobey Allah. We practice deeds, we pray salah, fasting, hajj, zakah, Quran, recitation. These are all on their own, put them to one side. But the ruh, the essence of all deeds, is to save yourself from disobeying Allah. If we are practicing all the deeds, worshipping, but we are not protecting ourselves, saving ourselves from disobedience, then we are failures. Because the real target that Allah has given to us is that we need to stay away from disobeying Allah, which we call taqwa. This is also termed taqwa. And a person is also who does this is a muttaqi. That successful, that person is that person who recites the Quran, yes, and also saves himself from the sin. He prays salah, for sure, but he also saves himself from sin, stays away from sin. He keeps the fast, but his heart, he saves from the sin. He doesn't backbite, no envy, no pride, no showing off, no haughtiness, no big-headedness. All of these actions, these sins, they consume our good deeds. These are the sins. So what's the examination for us? The test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world, in this dunya, and Allah said, I've spread out the sins across the world. No, Allah didn't have to do that. So this is a test. This is the examination ground. Everywhere around us are sins, there are fitnas, there are trials, challenges, disorder. But your achievement, success is that you have to save yourself from these sins. Not this, oh, what can I do? And you just put your hands up and give up. This is the test. Allah says this is the test for you in this world. Examination, 30, 40, 50, 70 years, whatever amount. Allah says, I'll give you food, I'll give you wealth, I'll give you earnings. Everything, I'll look after you in this world. Allah says, don't worry about the things that you need, your resources, whatever's in your destiny. You don't, and you're mad like running after the resources, then you're crazy. Then you failed. We are going upside down. All life long we work hard on risk to make one house, to get one car, and to have status and high status. All life long we run after this. And the action that Allah has given to us, the task in this world, we forget that task, that duty. And when the death comes, for when we ran all our life after the dunya doesn't give anything. And the thing that we should take with us, we're empty-handed when we die, we don't have anything to take with us to the hereafter. Think about this, how much foolishness there is in this. We're reading the Quran. Every line Allah has given this message in the Quran. I say, even Alhamdulillah in the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, that even after that, when you read Alhamdulillah, there's nothing left after that. You should completely Allah, just in Alhamdulillah, Allah gives us the definition of life. Just this recitation, Alhamdulillah, is enough for us to learn. But we don't do the work that Allah has given to us. So our duty, in reality, is what? Is to stay away from the sins. That's our obligation in this world. Whilst living in this world, around the impurities, we need to save ourselves from the impurities. What is the definition of sin? That whatever Allah has prohibited, that don't do X, Y, Z, then that becomes a sin. Simple. Allah says, don't do this action. And we need to think after that, why can't I do this? What's the reason? Why not? Allah's ordered, end of story. Why are you thinking about it after? Oh, why shouldn't I do it? How comes I can't do it? Allah says, don't do it. Yes, even if you feel there's a loss in the world, doesn't matter. But Allah said, no, don't go near this, don't do this. So to stay away from the sin is our real purpose of life. So how do we save ourselves from the sin in this dunya? That's a big test. That's hard. So how can we shun the sin and stay away from the sin? That's the real success. So Allah Ta'ala didn't say read so much nafil, tahajjud, ishraq, chast, prayer, do 10 umrahs. No, Allah's not given us that. Allah's just said one order. That the faraid I've given to you, the compulsory actions, 5 times salah, and fasting once a year, and if you got energy, do hajj once in their life, that's the end of story. If you got money, if you got extra money, then give zakah, compulsory charity. That's it. That's all that deen is. All of the action, our hard work effort has to be focused on what? Don't commit the sins. All lifelong, A to Z. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is our syllabus of life. Remember this syllabus. Yes, we sit down in these majalis to remember our purpose of life. That's why we go around. Yes, so what does shaitan and nafs say? Just pray tahajjud, oh, this is minor thing, swearing at someone, consuming somebody's wealth, taking somebody's money. You pray tahajjud. Yes, that tahajjud is nothing about which a person after which he's doing sin. No. So the real purpose of life is that we should not be committing a sin. That's the real achievement of a human being. That's the real deen of Islam. So it looks very difficult, hard. Oh, no doubt. No doubt, because getting paradise is not easy, is it? Yeah? Look at the reward. Jannah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us not to do sin. Allah has prepared the solution. Allah has given us the resources. That he wants to be saved from sin, Allah says, I've given you the resources. Just follow the resources. So what should we do? What effort should we make so that we stay away from sin? Think about it. We should think about this during the day, plan, ponder, analyze, that Allah's put our success of life in not sinning. So what shall I do to not sin? To be saved from the sin, let's delve into this. Let's delve into this. The only one resource can save a person from not sinning. Only one resource can save us from disobeying Allah. What is that? What is that? That is fear. To acquire fear. Fear. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're scared. Scared. Simple as that. If somebody is scared inside, he will not commit the sin. He will not commit the sin. Whoever has not got fear inside, he will run to the sin. That's it. Simple as black and white. So what is it that can save us from sinning? Fear. Being scared. I'll give you a simple example. In the world, very common examples we can take in the dunya. For example, you go to a store, a shop, and in the store, everyone's trying. The owner doesn't want a thief to steal the goods. They try that, don't they? They don't want someone to come in, take the goods, take the product, steal. So they take some steps, the owners of the store, so that nobody steals, commits theft. What's the step? They do, for example, that to make that person scared, afraid, so he doesn't commit theft. Yes? They put a notice, beware, don't steal anything from here. There will be consequences. So the thief, he'll put the, he don't care about the notice, just put the notice to the side, he'll take the goods, steal the goods. It's just a warning, isn't it? Written warning. So the thief, he doesn't care about that, because I've tried this myself and other people I know, to try to scare away the thief. Then there's another step you could take to eliminate the thief. You think, oh, that this is not working. So you put cameras and CCTV, closed circuit television. Why? Because then that's stronger as a proof, as a deterrent, to deter the thief. What's that? So when the thief comes to the store, he'll look at the notice, don't steal, he'll say, I don't care. But when the camera's in front, he'll be a bit scared. Oh, this camera is going to record me, it's going to catch the images, so he'll get scared. The thief, when there's a bit more fear, he'll be a bit more careful. I shouldn't steal from here. Let me go to another shop. There's cameras here in this shop. I'm not going to steal here. Then you go beyond that as a storekeeper, that the thieves are more scared, and that you want to instill more fear into the thief and deter the thief. There's one point here. The government, that just to deter the thief, what is the storekeeper doing? Instilling fear into the thief. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the common factor here. Nothing else the storekeeper is doing. The shop owner is just developing fear. So we learn that fear is such a thing that the thief will not commit the theft, will not steal. So then the shop owner went beyond that, with a bit more perfection. He said, we'll do something else, that even the camera can be dodged. So let's put some security guards there. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a simple example. Because the security guard, 6 foot tall, big man, yeah, black, white, whatever he is, he's got a stick in the hand. Will the thief come in there? No. He'll say, oh, I'm going to go in there. There's a camera. There's a security guard. He's going to catch me. I'll go there. He'll watch me. He'll go, you will go there. He'll look at your bags, what you're doing with your hands. Will the security guard not look around? And then the thief, will he not get deflated when he sees the security guard? So one is the notice, then he was scared of the camera, and then more than the camera, the thief is scared of physical deterrent. The guard's there in front of me. How will I steal now? How will I steal now? Do you understand the example I'm giving to you? So Allah says, beware, do not disobey me, don't steal, don't do wrong. Allah says, don't commit sins. Has Allah not said this to us? Don't commit the sins. Then Allah has given us notice, the Quran. The Quran is writing. We say, oh, Quran is reading 15 Jews, 20 Jews, do heaps, memorize Quran. And we're sinning openly. Allah says, I gave you the Quran for fear. But the fear has come out of you. You just read the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets, time to time. So then the CCTV came, the camera, the prophets came, the explaining, telling, become good human beings, leave the sins. Even then the people didn't take heed. How many events Allah has mentioned? The Quran, the prophets came, they warned the people. We read the stories and the events, but then we commit the same sins after reading those verses of the Quran. The same lies, the same backbiting, the same fraud, the same cheating. We've just read the Quran a few minutes ago, but we don't have the fear. You understand the example I'm giving? Then we don't take heed, we still commit the sin bravely. Then Allah Ta'ala gave us His great mercy, Subhanallah. وَمَاكُمْ بَيْنْ Allah says, بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْتُمْ Allah says, then I give you another mercy. I'll do such a thing, Allah says, that I will put the security in front of you. Who are they? Allah says, now you should imagine that I'm in front of you, Allah says. You should now imagine that I'm in front of you. This is what you should feel, contemplate. Every moment I'm next to you, near to you. And then Allah says, I am closer to you than your jugular vein. That these actions you're doing, Allah says, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. What a great statement Allah has told us this. I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Allah says, every moment, every second I'm next to you, with you, sleeping, you're awake, you're sitting, wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, doing, whatever position you're in. Allah says, I'm with you. Allah Ta'ala further says, I'm not invisible, I'm not away, I'm not far from you. Allah says that if you take a particle of dust, Allah says that even that particle of dust may be far, but I'm close to you. Allah says the heavens and the earth, that even I am not further away from you than the distance of a particle of dust. I'm near to you, close to you every moment. So if I'm close to you, then why do you commit theft? Why do you commit the sin? How can you disobey my laws and my orders, Allah Ta'ala says? Do you understand the example here? So what a great, you could say, fact Allah Ta'ala has laid in front of us. Okay, Allah says, you don't listen to the Quran, you never listen to the prophets. Allah says, I'm next to you myself. And how close to you? That even closer than a particle dust, every second, every moment, wherever you are in the world, you're reading the Quran, I'm next to you. I'm reading the verse of Quran next to you here. If you're doing good deeds, Allah says, I'm with you. If you do bad deeds, Allah says, to this extent, even if you're thinking, I'm next to you, Allah Ta'ala says, even while you're thinking. That's how fantastic security are put around you. Even then you commit the sin. You understand the example? Do you understand the example? So here now one fact is established. The world is here, isn't it? Nafs, shaitan, desires, evil, devil, Satan. These forces are around us. So now ilm has come to us, the knowledge. The Quran has given us the information that Allah is near to you. What is this called? Information, ilm, knowledge, to be aware of a fact. So we are aware now, you have got the knowledge, you say, okay, that's fine. How can we reject the Quran? Allah is next to us. Allah is closer to us than our jugular vein. Allah is closer to us than the particles of dust. We'll accept this, we're aware of this, but we don't physically implement this. Why is there not there? We don't have the certainty. In other words, we don't have that emotion, physically and spiritually, that proves that we believe in this. We believe in it, we believe it, we can't reject it, but in our hearts, this belief is not present, that definitely Allah is next to us. We don't believe this in our hearts. We're aware of it in our minds. You understand what I'm saying? So now we can grab the what's lacking in our lives. We know in our minds, but what we learned is that any human being, alhamdulillah, any human being, any believer, woman, man, sister, brother, he or she will never commit a sin, and they can never, if the emotion is developed in the Muslim, in the heart, that Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Yes? This is what Allah is saying to us. Allah is watching us. We know this in our minds. But the reason that we know this, but we don't implement this, we don't have the feeling inside our hearts, due to which we don't have that feeling, that emotion in our hearts. So despite knowing Allah is watching us, and near to us, we believe the orders we say, oh, we don't know Allah is next to us, we don't know Allah is watching us. So what is that thing that we're lacking that we need to fix that gap? Yes, that for example, we should not go towards the sin in any way or form. So if we want to be successful, if we want to depart this world successfully, then we will only leave this world successfully when we don't disobey Allah. And we can only not disobey Allah, only at that time will the human being not disobey Allah, when he develops that emotion inside him that we have spoilt and we've withered away and we've eroded. Do you understand the sequence here? Do you understand the sequence here? For example, you've come, I want to be improved, I want to be right, I don't want to do wrong, I want to be a better Muslim. So to be a better Muslim doesn't mean that you wear libas, the clothes, you adorn the beard, you start praying salah, you go on hajj. This is not the definition of you've become good. This is not Islam. Rectification will happen at that time when your hand does not go towards a sin. That's when you're good. When your heart does not desire to do bad, you don't even think about doing it, your hand will shake. But how can I do this action? Your hand will shake. Because Allah is watching me, He's observing me. And inside us, minus, despite having all deeds, we have sujood, prostration, we read Quran, we do other amal, but -1%, we don't even have the minus scale. That emotion. And if a person has that, Allah says, Allah inna awliya Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah has defined those people. The next verse, Allah Ta'ala has praised that those people who attain this emotion and develop themselves, improve themselves, they understand that I am not strong, I need to develop this awareness that Allah is next to me. Allah now says, this is my friend, that wali Allah. And what's the reward? La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah says, I give them the reward. Not in the world will they fear, not in the hereafter will they fear. They're cool and calm. Now tell me, is this our target of life? Or are we just eating, drinking, sleeping, merry, enjoying, and about the next day what we're going to eat and drink, we don't know nothing. What a big, big duty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. Big, big duty. And we have a desire to be wali Allah. We don't even understand what is the level of being a wali Allah. Oh, do such that you'll become wali Allah. Or pray this, you'll be wali Allah. Recite this. You don't become wali Allah like this through worship. The method that Allah's prescribed, through that method we can become walis of Allah. Only through that method. Yes, so follow Allah's method. Follow Allah's procedure. Work hard on that. What's the procedure we need to follow that Allah has prescribed? That we should develop this emotion inside us that Allah is watching me every second. I should develop this emotion. And we should develop this, revive this. This is the highest level priority and grade. And when was this the most in the Muslims? When the Prophet ﷺ was present in the world, the Sahaba, someone, a person who was an idol worship from many years, who had no manners, no adab. Soon as he sat in the company of the blessed Prophet ﷺ, within a second he got to that maqam of iman that he knew, that felt Allah is watching him. Such a high maqam that until the day of judgment, no human being can come to the world who is equivalent to a Sahabi. Not even the dust on the foot of the Sahabi. The Sahabi may not have prayed, no zakat, no hajj. But inside he attained that maqam within a second in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. That as soon as he arrived to the blessed company, the Prophet ﷺ was the light. He was a complete deen of Islam. And he was the example, the demonstration of Allah's magnificence was the Prophet ﷺ. The illustration of Allah's magnificence and brilliance, all the safat, the qualities, the tajriyat, was there, present in the Holy Prophet ﷺ in his lifestyle. Yes, he was the complete illustration of Allah's magnificence and brilliance. Every sift, every quality attribute showed that. So as soon as the Prophet ﷺ was there and the Sahabi went in his company, and he got that reflection of that greatness of the Prophet ﷺ, then he changed. Where is he sitting? Who's he sat in front of? That Sahabi. So as soon as that color, that nur, within a second, that Sahabi, when he sat in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, that until the day of judgment in the universe, radiyallahu anhu, or radiyallahu anha, they became, and nobody was equivalent to them. So today now, let's compare to the Muslim today. Yes, he swears at the Sahaba, at the Sahabiya, to the Ahlul Bayt. He criticizes as Umar, as Siddiq, as Abu Bakr, as Talha, as Zubair. Imagine as Aisha, the mother of the believers, and they call themselves true Muslims, and they beat themselves. Eh? They beat themselves to show that they're Muslims. And they say, we are Muslims. The Sahaba Jamaat of the companions was such a Jamaat about whom we cannot imagine their greatness, how great they were. The best of all creation. Allah said in the Quran, Allah praised them, their qualities. Their sujood, their prostration, their faces, their brilliance, their ibadah, their worship of the Sahaba. Allah praised them Himself in the Quran. Why? Because they had taken the physical sohbat company of the Prophet. There was no other greatness in their life. No great worship. That Allah is saying that because they sat physically in front of my Nabi, so I give the protection due to my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I give the protection to the Sahaba because they sat in his company. Until the day of judgment, no one can be equivalent to them. Any Sahabi, nauzubillah min al-fikr, to criticize them, talk rubbish, and you criticize them, then you are criticizing the blessed company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because that means you're saying that there was something lacking in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was Allah saying that I gave the greatness to the Sahaba because they sat in the holy company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His company was so holy, he was so great that Allah could not imagine that a Sahabi was sat there and somebody criticizes him after. Do you understand the greatness of the Sahaba? Due to the blessed company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whoever criticized Sahaba is saying that I am question marking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company. So when does a person get the rank? A normal human being. Look, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling. I've told you this story before. And there was a shepherd. He came across a shepherd. A great story. And he passed by the shed. And he was Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the shepherd didn't know who he was. That he was Hazrat Umar. He said, oh shepherd, you know you got these sheep here. Your goats, you know, are these yours? He said, please, I'm thirsty. Hazrat Umar said, can I take some milk? And the shepherd said, you could. He said, let me do this then. What you do is that I... give me this goat to me, and I'll give you some money. And I'll drink the milk, and I'll slaughter the goat, and I'll eat the meat. And the shepherd said, it's not mine, I can't just sell it to you, there's an owner of this goat. And who's saying this? The shepherd's saying this. And the era of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Umar's testing him. He said, no one's watching here, your malik is your owner, your boss. Yes, yeah, you can just say to him, one of the wolves ate the sheep, take the money in your pocket and just go and with success, make some profit. Subhanallah. He's saying that in that era, look at the answer. He said, I don't know who you are. For in Allah, but where's Allah gone then if you're telling me to do this? Where's Allah, my owner? Where, if my boss ain't here, but where's Allah? Allah's watching me. Maybe my boss isn't. And today, tahajjud, person prays Allah, have they got this iman? And he's a shepherd outside in the wilderness. Imagine, do you understand what I'm saying? This example. So this is the real success. That congratulations, Mubarak, success is based on leaving the sins. to stay away from the sin. If you want to stay away from the sin, then develop this emotion inside you that Allah is watching me every second. فَإِن تَقُلْ Allah is watching me, Allah is observing me, Allah is scanning. This emotion we must develop and revive inside us. Allah is telling us this. This is what we have to work hard on. This is what we need to implement. How can we work hard and make effort so we can develop a feeling that Allah is watching us? How do we achieve this? What is the action? What is the action that we need to work hard on? As Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, there's a hadith he narrated. It's in Tabarani, this hadith, and different collections of hadith has been narrated. Beautiful hadith. And the Prophet ﷺ was in his home, and wahi came, revelation in the house. Wasbir nafsaka. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse of the Quran. That, O my Habib, my beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wasbir nafsaka. That you please go, and go and sit with those people, and be regular in sitting with them. Wasbir nafsaka maladina. Which people? Yaduna rabbahum. Those who do the dhikr of Allah, who remember Allah. Yes? Morning and evening, those who sit and do dhikr Allah, go, please present yourself in their service punctually, regularly with them. Allah is saying this in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the verse of the Quran. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly stood up and he left his home, he departed his home. Let me go and see which jamaat assembly that Allah is asking me, telling me to go and sit with them. Allah is telling me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to the masjid. Masjid Nabi saw a jamaat, an assembly of people in the corner. Who were those people? Very high status protocol. Allah is sending his Prophet to their company. There must be glowing faces, mashallah. They must have great libas, great attire, and rich and wealthy. A great assembly of people. That Allah is the one who's sending, and he's sending his Nabi, his Prophet, to their company. So imagine that jamaat, those group of people, the Sahaba. Can you imagine who Allah is sending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to? The whole universe to one side, all the people stand. But he, Allah is sending to his Nabi, to those people, there on one side. And everyone in the universe to their side. So rather, they should be said to them that go to the Nabi. The other way around, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and said, who are these people? And he saw in the corner, on the side, some people were sitting. And then the description in the hadith is mentioned. Who are those people? How were they? Their hair, disheveled hair. And not combed, be untidy. And on their body, no kurta, no kameez, no shirt. And severe, you could say, poverty. Not eaten or drank anything for a long time. Intense heat bearing down on them. And just covering their satar with the tahmad sharif. With the beautiful tahmad, the lungi, you could say, just the lower garment they had, and nothing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to them, and he sat there, and he saw that jamaat, the group of believers, and after seeing them, then he praised Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, I'm millions of times grateful to you, that in my ummah, you have created such people, believers, that you have sent me to them, and you've instructed me to sit with them. Do you understand the point I'm making? So this jamaat, do you think, has stopped? Until the day of judgment, the same action the people will do like that jamaat of the Sahaba. You understand the point? What was the action they were doing? Morning and evening, regular, punctual, dhikrullah. Regular, dhikrullah. Hot or cold, storms or rain. Not this, 4 days, I'll come 2 a.m, or it'll be long nights, then I'll come. For the Sahaba, there was no condition. Just you need the morning. The believer sit in the morning. Doesn't matter what time it is. Remember Allah. I need the evening so I can sit down and remember Allah. And the reward, the Quran, Allah has told us the reward. Do you understand this deed of dhikrullah, morning and evening? That Allah says, what ibadah should you do? Yaduna rabbahum, Allah says, just remember Allah. Do dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Immersed in the dhikr of Allah. And they're not worried about anything in the world. They don't care about the news, what's happening in the world. They just have one issue. Allah, there's fakir, those people who are in destitution. Poverty, they're dependent from the world. They don't worry about the clothes, they don't worry about money, they don't worry about dunya, mal, wealth, status, earning, running around the dunya. If I don't do dhikr today, how will I work if I go to majlis? They don't know anything. They're immersed in the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. They don't care about dunya. Not 1 year, 2 years. All life long they spend their life like this. Yes, and they don't even know about the reward that they're getting, subhanAllah. They're remembering Allah, and they're remembering Allah due to the love of Allah. They don't worry about, oh, the deeds, how much tawab Allah has given to me, I put that in the scale, I did this much dhikr, and I've got problems today, I've got issues today. Allah, I did your dhikr, and you didn't do this for me in the world, I've got issues. No, no, problems come, and their hair is disheveled, not combed, no clothes to wear, no food to eat at home, but they're remembering Allah out of the love of Allah. Out of the love of Allah. They don't sit there with a scale. Allah, I do zikr. I remember you. Why don't you give me these rewards? Allah, I'm doing your zikr. Why don't you give them this? Why don't I have respect? Why am I not famous? Why don't I have titles? Why don't I have money given to me? They are not caring about anything. I've got Allah's name. That's the greatest treasure in the universe. Allah's name I'm reciting. They, subhanAllah, then never leave the action. They have no need to run around begging, asking for people. They say, Allah, whatever you give, keep giving. If you don't give, don't give. If you give or don't give, if you give food to eat, if you don't give food to eat. This is Mawlana. This is the real Wali Allah. This is the Wali Allah, the friend of Allah. There's a person remembers Allah like this. Allah says, this is the reward I give to you. What is that? SubhanAllah. Then Allah gives the reward. That Muslim, he gets the reward that they can see, they can feel that Allah is watching them. Him or her. Then in the emotion, they fulfill the principles of deen. And then they don't commit the sins after that. Then the lifestyle of that person is just one thing. I have to please my Lord Allah. That's their mission of life. Do you understand now the sequence? How to stay away from the sin. Do you understand the formula? So success that the Quran has prescribed is what? Through one action there is success. To stay away from the sin equals success. Not doing lots of worship. Or read this much Tarawih or Tahajjud or Quran. Even if you worship and do less worship, but the action you need to do the most, you shouldn't commit sins in that day, not in your thought, not in your mind, not from your body. Totally 100% detach yourself from the sins, and you will only leave the sins when you know that you feel Allah is in front of you, and then you will never commit the sins. In the darkness and the light, and a person commits the sins, and shaitan deviates him. Oh, you just committed, you prayed, you did worship, you did this worship. There's no benefit of that worship. There's no benefit of that worship if you're running after sin. And the benefit's only at that time when you stay away from the sin. And on every footstep in this dunya, there is sin. And even your thoughts can make you sin. And your thoughts, the sin, the shaitan will inject this, go and fight him, quarrel this, and fight with that person, quarrel. And he's not doing sins externally, he's doing sins inside. That, I'll tell you a point today, a very small point. Grab hold of this and see how the success will come to you in your life. A small point for the Sufis, I'll prescribe this to you today. Very successful action this is, this prescription. I'll give you some advice. Look, the thoughts, a person's sin starts from his thoughts. When you have dirty thoughts or impure thoughts, that's what develops the sin. You might be pious, good, done tawbah. Then he remembers the old things. I used to see that girl, used to look at that woman, you did this action, you did this sin, you whistled at that person, female. And then shaitan starts to make you remember the old sins. And then you get enjoyment out of those old memories. Those old history, the stories, the memories, you get enjoyment. And even though you've shunned that, you've left that, you want to save yourself from the sin, leave the sins, shaitan remind you of fraud, or cheating, or sinning, or a fight, or a quarrel, or a dispute. But shaitan's running along with you in the journey of life. This is a mujahida. And he sat there in a good environment in the masjid. Then the thoughts come in your mind. Shaitan makes you think of different things, and history, and historical deeds. And people, you think you're a kutub, or a ghost in the masjid. But inside, the machinery of thoughts is running. Wasawis. Negative, evil temptations of shaitan. These are with us, aren't they? So what should I do then? When shaitan makes me think. Because the thoughts, they keep swirling around inside me, then they embed in my mind. So when the human being is faced with these thoughts, negative thoughts, and when he has that feeling then, that Allah is watching me, and then the thoughts are running in parallel, subhanAllah. So then there's a scene here developing from that person. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the scene that's developing? It's a term. This is like Karachi sort of dialect I'm giving you here. Naksha. It's coming from Musta Naksha. The scene that's developing here is That he wants to be pious, he wants to be good, and then he's got thoughts inside him that he knows Allah's watching me. So how do I stop these bad negative thoughts? There's a beautiful solution I'll tell you to get rid of the evil thoughts, evil temptations. Whenever a bad thought comes into you or it doesn't come strong, you have to do one action. Astaghfirullah, you recite. Astaghfirullah. What should you say? Astaghfirullah. Yeah, let the thought come after that. But keep saying astaghfirullah. No bad thought will then get you to do a bad thing. No bad thought will spoil you or make you a bad person after that. Why? Because the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this was his sunnah as well. Astaghfar, he would recite abundantly on his blessed tongue. This was a ta'lim. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's every action was ta'lim, education for the ummah. And there was beautiful solution for the ummah that you cannot compare with. That if you make a habit every moment, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Any thoughts coming? Negative, any nonsense, rubbish thoughts, wasteful thoughts, something that takes you towards fighting or quarreling, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Immediately, you will be washed away and purified from that sin inside you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so there's many actions you can do. You should do them, worship, but at least take the steps to save yourself. At least take the steps to save yourself from the sin. So just one action we need to do, that we should not let sin come into our lives. Don't commit the sins. So when the individual does dhikrullah, that this is such a great reward. This whole verse was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir nafsaka. Maladina, the tariqa, method, cure Allah Ta'ala prescribed. If you want to feel that Allah is in front of you, then adopt this measure, this action. If you want to have this emotion that Allah is watching you, do my dhikr, Allah says morning and evening, remember me abundantly, then that development will come inside from you, top to bottom, that Allah is watching you. That feeling will overtake you, that Allah is watching you. So this is the reason why when an individual, a human being, when he want to do his islah, rectification, he goes to a wali Allah, then the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, immediately enrolls that student into this path, this effort. This effort, this is where it starts from, this course with the dhikr of Allah. The student, the shaykh doesn't tell the student to do dhikr for thawab. Remember this what I'm telling you. There are many actions that you can do to get thawab, reward. Many actions. So we don't do dhikr for thawab. Rather, why are we doing dhikr? It's a cure that the shaykh prescribes it as a cure. That this human being, that's embedded inside him, I want to embed in him that Allah is watching me, to revive that, make alive. The shaykh tells the student to dhikr in abundance. There are stages of dhikr. And when the student goes there to the teacher and starts doing dhikrullah, and those people do that dhikr of Allah who want to improve the hereafter, they must be serious for that. Serious. That I have got a plot, a path, I've plotted. I want to be saved from the sin and from punishment, and I want Allah to be happy with me. What need did I have to do to wali Allah? I was praying here. I used to go to Medina. I used to do Umrah. I used to do Hajj. I used to do everything before I met my Shaykh. Why did I need to go and meet my Shaykh, my teacher, myself? What was the reason? Everything I did in my life, but I didn't have this feeling inside me. I didn't have it. I didn't have this emotion. And to get this emotion apart from the company of the wali Allah, you cannot get this anywhere else in the world. Nowhere. That I was doing, the Sahaba were doing dhikr. Were they doing it or not? Tell me. But they were lacking the company even then. So I'm telling you the great point here. Great point here. You understand what I'm saying? This is a beautiful point. So they had high level amal, the sahaba, because the actions had to carry until qiyamah. So Allah said, they're doing the actions of my sahaba, of my prophet, they are immersed in my remembrance. But one thing's lacking, they don't have the sohbat of the teacher while they're doing this action. You understand the point here, what I'm saying? Subhanallah. So Allah bridged the gap. So then, Subhanallah, it's a great action that we're doing. Dhikrullah, the Sahaba and Masjid Nabwi. And till the Day of Judgment, this was the teaching. That's why Allah Ta'ala gave the teaching to the Ummah in this hadith. That in my Ummah, there are people there, MashaAllah, Subhanallah, we're doing Dhikrullah. Yes, that in my Sahaba, there are people who are there. Where's the Ummah come from then? They understand this point I'm explaining. Remember, understand the point I'm saying. So Rasulullah said that there are people amongst my Sahaba, MashaAllah, that who are they? Abu Bakr, Umar. That no, it was the Ummah the solution is coming here. The Ummah. That until today, not just now for the Sahaba, until the Qiyamah, there'll be walis of Allah in every generation in the world. There'll be a plot of earth and land, a country full of sins. But Allah will send the wali Allah there who will spread the dhikr of Allah. We've got examples in front of us. Haven't we? In front of you, there's example. today, 60, 70 years ago before here, what was there here? Nothing. Nobody knew about dhikrullah. And now, after 60, 70 years, they're in nice places, there are khankas, and dhikr is taking place. There are khankas. They're not madrasas, not talim, no education, nothing. The dhikr of Allah, their headquarters where dhikr of Allah takes place. In which place? In this country, mashallah. Why? Because the friend of Allah, mashallah, he told us. So Allah says, there are people there, walis of Allah, they're doing the work. But, mashallah, you cannot succeed just by doing dhikr. You must have company, physical, of the wali Allah. So for this reason, when the individual, that if you're doing dhikr, for example, and if you, I know how to do dhikr on my own, I know tasbihs, I can read from the hadith, I can learn the du'as, I can do this much. That's fine. The sahaba were doing the same, weren't they, at that time? Do you understand the difference here? Do you understand the comparison? Complete will be at that time when you go to a wali Allah, and when the wali Allah in his company gives you dhikr, that will be nur ala nur for you. So the sahaba, they could not have got success. That dhikr would not have run without the sohbat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and when they were doing dhikr, then what happened with the company of the shaykh? Then the tawajjah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on the sahaba. The focus, when that tawajjah, the attention comes on the heart, when the shaykh gives his attention, his blessed sight, then the emotions revive, that Allah is watching us. From empty dhikr on its own, you can't get that. You have to have the focus and attention of the teacher upon you. Do you understand the point here? Not just by doing dhikr on its own. When you sit here in the gathering, there's another point here. I'll tell you this as well, explain to you. That Allah Ta'ala, when the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went himself, at that time, there was one person doing there, not two, there was a gathering of the Sahaba doing dhikr there at that time. Gathering. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam attended that gathering. So if there's a gathering, and the shaykh is present, and Allah's dhikr is done, then the tawajjah of the shaykh is in that gathering. And that person who does dhikr, he gets the benefit. And the effects of that dhikr are different. His feelings are different, the person, the student. Yes, that's where the heart opens, when the emotion is developed, that Allah is watching me. That's where success comes. Do you understand the point? So how extremely cautious we must be, and we need to work hard and make effort. So let's revise and remind us that our brain should tell us that if we want to succeed, we need to leave the sins. And to stay away from the sin, the method Allah has given to us is the same. Go and sit in the company, take the company of a wali Allah, and sit in his sohbat, in his company, learn dhikr from the teacher that he's told you, and then do dhikr in his company. And you should have just one intention, and leave thawab, just one intention, that Allah, please develop the emotion inside me that you are watching me. That's all I want, Allah. That's all I want. So here the Mashaikh Ikram have said, the Honorable Mashaikh, that those who embark on this path, then they look at their success on this criteria. If a student is following this path, and he's got a shaykh, he's learned dhikr, he's doing dhikr, she's doing dhikr, and they see kashf and vision and karamat and miracles, they start to see dreams, and du'as have been accepted, all of these things happening. But, no benefit is there for that student, real benefit for that student, for that murid. Inside that student, he's developed the emotion that I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. That murid whose heart is shaking when sin is confronted in front of him or her, he doesn't go towards the sin, he'll die hungry but won't eat haram. He'll be wretched and ruined but he won't lift his eyes towards haram. His tongue, eyes, heart are full of the fear of Allah, that he's not ready at all to go towards the sin. He'll bear all difficulties, yes. But when the murid, the student, has this emotion, that's the real student who is successful. So you can assess yourself, that why have I not developed this emotion, this feeling? Why am I not developing this? Why am I not like this? What should I do? Effort for this. You keep a private meeting, you could say, with your teacher. And try, work hard, then travel, do mujahida, make effort. There's nothing lacking in the shaykh, it's the lacking in the murid and the student, remember this. The shaykh gives full attention, he was giving everything, muraqabat, everything's happening. But it's lacking inside you, that you're not receiving the blessings, and you're taking shortcuts, due to which you are feeling there's a gap. So don't just say, yes, I start to see dreams, I've got titles, I get this, and mashallah, I feel good, and my body's shaking, my hands are shaking. No connection is there with success in these feelings. There's only one sign that how much Atiullah, Atiur Rasul is in your life. How much do you obey Allah and Rasulullah? How much love do you have for the Sunnah in your life? And how much happiness do you have for practicing the Sunnah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. These are the criteria for success. Now, the enjoyment in ibadat, this is the over and after. The real achievement, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul, faqad faza fawzan adheema. Success is only that person who is obeying Allah and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally. That person is successful. So we must recognize the true emotion. Otherwise that murid is also failing, remember this. Not just the company of the teacher doing dhikr and doing lots of worship and to have the light in the heart. This is not success. Murid, the successful student is that student who when he goes to a teacher, after sitting in the company of the teacher, he never commits the sins. That's the real student. End of story. Then for that person, Allah announces, Allah, awliya Allah, la khawfun alim wa lahum yahzanun. These are my awliya Allah. Shall I tell you another point quickly? 2 minutes are left to the adhan. Let me tell you another point before adhan. Allah Ta'ala has announced that my friends, I make them my walis, and they have an emotion, and they consider that Allah is watching us. Then Allah develops another emotion. Allah's reward, Allah says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزُنُونَ. Allah says, they are detached from every fear, they're not scared. In the world or thereafter, they have no fear now. Nothing to fear. They have ups and downs, they have problems, they have sorrows, they have challenges, they have disappointments in life, and they have pain, they have everything. But what does this mean then, that they have no fear, nothing to worry about? لَا خَوْفٌ means that they are human beings, they're same as human beings. Problems, difficulties in the dunya all come onto them. But my wali, they are my friends. So the emotion is what at that time when the difficulties, issues arrive, obstacles? La khawf wa lahum yahzanun. How are they detached from that? For this reason, they are strong in their connection with Allah. They say, Allah, any action, anything that you've done to me is not away from your hikmah, wisdom. That today you've made me sick and well. Allah, definitely this is your hikmah, it's benefit from me. Then he starts to be detached and not worried about that difficulty. That's not a difficulty for that person. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلِمُ الْهَمْ يَسُنُونَ. They said, this is a good thing. Allah's destined this for me. This sickness for me is good. There's definitely a benefit in this sickness for me. No crying, lamenting, criticizing, or complaining. And everything that Allah brings his way or her way in the life, they say, Allah's hikmah وَأَخْرُ دَوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. InshaAllah, after Isha, we will do some muraqabah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين توبة ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وقتلنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان Ya qadi al hajat ikta hajatina Ya dawfi al balayat itfa balayatina Ya shafi al amra ishfa muradina Allahumma afina fi badni Allahumma afina fi sami Allahumma afina fi basri La ilaha illa anta Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina Qurrata ayyan waj'alna lil muttaqina imama Allahumma rabbirhamhuma كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين